face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey, I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Bop-doo-zop, bop-doo-zop.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Baby. Oh, baby. I like it just like that. Yeah. Do me, baby. Yeah. Oh, you can do me in the morning. You can do me in the night. You can do me when you want to do me. Oh, heck no. I won't do what you tell me. No, sir. I won't do what you tell me. Hey, jerk. I won't do what you tell me. Kick rocks. I won't do what you tell me. Hey, bucko. I won't do what you tell me. Get lost. I won't do what you tell me. Scram. I won't do what you tell me. I won't do what you tell me. Hey, let's play Boggle. Hey, we want some birthday cake. Hey, we want some red balloons. Hey, we want shenanigans. Hey, we want a can of squirt. I like bowling.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tires Studios. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985. Hope everyone had a lovely weekend.
Not as good as Dan Roach's. It was his birthday yesterday, and every time I'm reminded of his birthday, I'm reminded of the soul-crushing news that he received, because he used to think that he was a lucky guy because on his birthday he would be able to go in and get a free slushie over at 7-Eleven, and then he was told that, no, his birthday was indeed on July 11th, which is 7-Eleven, and everyone gets a free slushie, and it wasn't just special because that was his lucky day.
Slurpee, the 7-Eleven company would be very upset that you're saying slushie.
Yeah, it's Slurpee.
Oh, that's right. The slushie is the knockoff. The Slurpee is the, that's the branded one from there. You get the supersized one, and you can mix flavors, but I don't know if they're keen to that anymore.
No, you can still do it.
I mean,
you can still do it? Because I got yelled at one time when I was a kid for trying to mix flavors. They
don't stop it at our 7-Eleven. My kids layer it up. They love it.
Why would they stop you? That guy was just giving you the business for no reason.
Well, they just let lawlessness take over, I guess, after a while.
Yeah,
too many kids breaking the law, and they just didn't want to have to deal with that kind of mess.
Yeah, because it would really... because the difference in pricing, there's none. So if you could do whatever you wanted as long as it's in the same container.
I think it was the sloppy mess that the kids would make is moving one from the next, and I guess maybe I was just a completely incompetent in mixing flavors and making an absolute just wasteland over at the slushy machine.
When I had my wisdom teeth taken out when I was a kid, I went to 7-Eleven. My mom drove me there, and I fell asleep at the Slurpees, and my mom finally came in and saw me there and had to arouse me. She had to wake me up because I was still drugged from the procedure. A procedure that when my wife had here in Boston, where they are not free with the medicines, they only gave her Novocaine. They did not give her anything to help relax her or to make the process less unpleasant. They just said, oh, you'll be completely awake from this. We'll numb you up. So you'll hear us rattling around and tearing. Don't worry about that. And not even the gas didn't even care. If I was the dentist, I'd be turning the gas on for everything.
You know what's weird, Fred? Is I think that that was like a decade-long sabbatical on letting people use that. Because now, because I totally understand. We tried to get my kids, get some like dental work too, and they didn't want to use any of it several years ago. But now, apparently, it's no problem whatsoever. I don't know if there was some sort of regulation that was passed or something that opened up and made it freer to get access to that kind of dental drugs. But now it's kind of it is a free for all when it comes down to that.
Yeah, you got to pay for it. Yeah, they gave my kids gas when they had to pull both my kids' teeth, and my daughter did not do one thing to her. She was still freaking out, running around, throwing up, Oh yeah, she got herself worked up that you would not believe.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was in Newport with my daughter and her friend, my wife, over the weekend.
Sounds like fun.
Oh, my friends. Oh, yes. So much rest.
Did you get nailed? Did it rain the entire time?
No, my wife and I did not have sex. Hey, now. It did not rain. No, okay. It did not rain. It was not very good on Saturday. We went to the beach, and it was just gray and crappy. Going into that's what's funny about like people who have property around here is that the water is really unpleasant until very late in the summer. Like if you're anywhere, the water is not pleasant to get into. It's there and there's no one in the water. Like we went to the beach and I kind of got in and I was like, wow, this is really cold. And then I looked around and I was the only. There was a lot of people on the beach, but I was the only person in the water. So you're getting property on the beach, literally just to sit on the sand and gaze out into what might be if you were somewhere more hospitable to human people.
Dan O'Brien.
There's tons of people in the water here, tons, but they're maniacs.
Not where I am.
But they're maniacs. I mean, it's like it's freezing out there. Now, a ton of them are surfers, though, because the waves are massive here.
When I go up to Kennebunk, only surfers with the wetsuits.
But,
they
have wetsuits on.
Still have wetsuits on in the middle of July.
But the trick is, though, and this is I think this is the same on the Cape as it is on Nantucket, is that once the weather gets nice, then, surprise, it's jellyfish season. So it's like the minute it starts getting warm enough where you're able to get in, all the jellyfish around here, they realize, okay, they get the memo, and then it's just people getting stung left and right. And so there's really no window anymore in which you can actually go in and enjoy warm water. You just have to go in there, have that 3 to 5 minutes of absolute frozen hell until your body just becomes numb to it and turns off any feeling receptors, and then you stay in the water after that point.
Yeah, well, not a lot of people are on that page from where I've been. and so I'm sticking with my plan is if I want somewhere by water, it will not be in New England. It's
go
it's,
south, my friend.
Well, that's what my parents' lake gets to be 90.
Yeah.
The water.
You go to the shore, it's like 75 degrees. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you go down to Hilton Head, I mean, April, it's cold, very cold, but it's what it is now here. So by now, I mean, you could spend the day in the ocean. I was talking to Adam. Adam, 12, goes up to New Hampshire. And he said 1 year, the water temperature got to be like 66.
Woo!
And he said that people, which 66 is, you can get in.
Wow.
So 66, though, and he said people, he was in for like 3 hours. It was heaven on earth. And I said, well, you know, there's other places you can go where the water is 66 much earlier in the year. And then in the summer... And then he goes, well, it's too hot. 90's too hot for the lake. Well, no, it's not. It's nice. It's if you have an outdoor pool, you would keep it at between 80 and 90. So I say hogwash. Too cold. No property for me around here, my friends. No property. Because Dan's up there in Maine, but he sits on the beach and lets it fly.
Yeah, like John was up there over the weekend and, you know, I had made some sort of possibilities of coming by and I said no.
Yeah,
no.
John was very hurt by that.
Hurt, Rich, yeah.
John asked if there was nothing to do, if he could go see Dan, and Dan said, no, I don't want to be around your kids. No.
Yeah.
Like, I hang out with people with no kids. I don't have any kids for a reason, and I don't want your kids
bring
around.
Bring them only if it's a beach day and they can go in the water.
Yeah, I'm not hanging out inside with you.
No. You could have gone to York's Wild Kingdom together. Come on.
I know. It would have been awesome.
You could have seen the animals with one eye that were somehow rescued from some sort of, department.
It's been a while since I've been there. I'm just assuming that I'll show up one day and the whole place will be closed.
Still going strong.
Oh, is it really? All right.
They'll be as long as there's tranquilizer darts. So, W. York's Wild Kingdom.
It's one of those places. Still have them in their bodies walking around.
It's one of those places where the animals have just given up. They don't even need them in cages. They're not going anywhere.
Well, when you guys, everyone, because Mike's gone today, everyone except for Nick was gone last week. And Hardy was in on Wednesday, and everything was great. And then Wallach was back. When did you come back? Thursday?
Thursday.
Okay, so Hardy was in on Tuesday, and that was great. And then Wallach was back on Thursday, and everything was fine. On Wednesday, you missed the Murray and Hook show. And what's interesting about Murray and Hook is that they both are, for different reasons, angry about their amount of time on the radio station. Like, Hook especially has been kind of like ignored and passed over, and so he's pissed about not being on. And Murray, you know, is still a part timer and you know, wants to be a full timer. So who can blame either of them? I would want to do that too. And so they're on the air, and I bring up the situation that was going on at ESPN with your girlfriend, Rich, and the other lady.
Rachel Nichols.
And
she's very flirty with me.
She was indeed. And, you do look very similar to Jimmy Butler, so I can see why. And so
we're both jacked.
That's right. And so I'm sitting here, and I know it's making Marshall Hook uncomfortable, so I keep talking about it. And then I look over, and Marshall Hook, because they have other jobs, Marshall Hook is texting. And Joe Murray is sitting and almost in a state of complete relaxation to sleep. And I'm talking. And now if you told me, Fred, you have to do a show alone, I would say, okay, all right. I obviously can do it. I did 5-hour shifts at 99X. I could do a 4-hour show alone. I don't want to, but I could. But let me know I'm doing the show alone.
I know what you're talking about.
Marshall is texting, and he is closing his eyes, and I'm thinking, you guys want to be on the air more,
Fred. There's been times where you were gone, and Wallach, maybe even you, and I've been in the middle of a conversation with certain people, and I've seen that while we're on the air having a conversation, one of the people in the studio is having a full-on back-and-forth discussion on Twitter with somebody. And I'm like, what are we doing? Are we on the air? What are you concentrating on?
Listeners
now
called in, and they were like, Joe, Marshall, are you going to participate today?
Right.
Visually.
And I've asked questions to try to bring them in at times, and there's not, like, you can tell they haven't heard anything of the past, like, 2 minutes. And you're like, all right, well, maybe that's partly on me. But still, I mean, you do everything to throw bones sometimes, and then you just realize that, you know, there's some people who I don't think have the stamina like we do to do 4 hours, or at least keep your attention for 13 minutes at a time.
Fred, did the I'm not really interested in this topic come up at all during?
Yes, it did. Okay,
therefore I'll check out because I'm not really, okay,
so,
really interested.
So the joke was, Marshall the day before had told me he was uncomfortable talking about the Rachel Nichols thing because of the race aspect of it. So that, of course, made me want to talk about it with Marshall Hook. So everything was lined up perfectly. Hook was desperately uncomfortable and getting agitated at me for asking him about it and calling him out for being uncomfortable talking about race.
And by the way, you're underplaying one thing. That was like the big sports story of the day.
Oh, and by the way, Rich,
there's not a ton of sports.
And by the way, Rich, so thank you. So the night before, so Rich, me and Lockhart have audio of her flirting with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, it's a huge story.
I have all, Rich, thank you. So I've done the work. I have audio of her. I have Carl Anthony Towns saying, go tell Rachel Nichols. I have all this audio.
Yeah.
The day before, I had heard a show in New York, like, kind of discovering all this stuff. And I said it on the air. I heard the show in New York kind of discovering all this stuff about Rachel Nichols. So I, Rich, you're right. I have audio.
That's a three breaker, dude. That's a three breaker.
I have audio, and I have the angle. Yeah. That's why I stand by. All this would have worked. I have the angle of Hook for some unknown reason. And the reason is one time he said something about Cam Newton that was super innocuous, and two people on Twitter called him racist. So I have everything going on. Joe is not participating. Joe, and then I finally, a caller calls in and goes, guys, like, what's going on? And Joe goes, like, well, I don't care. I just don't care about it. And then I thought to myself, can you imagine all the, for 16 years, 20 hours a week of talking about stuff that you guys, listen, I just don't care. Okay. Because I care so deeply about everything we talk about. It just, I mean, he goes, I don't care, which is like the N word to a radio host. It's like, I don't care.
Or just like, none of come us on, do. Why are you here? And I'm not saying this is like a huge opportunity, but it's a huge opportunity. Well, you're sitting, I mean, listen, it's one of those things where let me know ahead of time. Well, I guess Marshall did technically let you know ahead of time so I can get somebody else in.
Well, like, no, but
you can't talk about the big story of the day the next day. Then no, I mean, what are we doing?
Hook was fine, but the bit was he didn't want to talk about it. Which is hysterical because it's like, what are you afraid of? And then, but if anyone was next to me needling him too, it would have been great. It would have been great. And that's the thing is that, like, you know, some bits come and go and you do blah, 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 blah. That was good. And it would have been good. It would have been really good. And Hook was getting agitated in like a good way. And like, it would have been good.
I've had that for all you ask for when it comes into like for replacements is someone who is just engaged. Your opinion can be wrong. You could speak nonsense. Just be engaged. Like, be somebody who can do the back and forth, and I can work off you, and you can work off me. But if you're just a void, it's one thing, as you said, if you told me that you're going to be a void, I would get it. I'd be prepared for that. But if I'm throwing something to you, and you're, like, texting somebody back and forth, oh, dude, that drives me crazy. It drives me insane.
Right. That was the one day. That was the one day. You know, Joe vastly improved. I think he's much more comfortable in the third chair. But then, and Hook was fine, but it was just that one segment. And Hook gets the pass because I guess he played his role in it. But if I would have had, it would have worked. It would have worked with just a little bit of a guy, just a little push here and there. But that was the way it was. But there you go. And I heard Joe this weekend, and they was because I was driving back from Newport, and he was sitting there. All right. So what's
I'm good? Sure he was indeed sitting there.
They were talking about like hot chicks or something, and he goes, "Oh, but how about Major Guns?"
Okay, that's now it's creepy.
Wow, all right. It's not creepy. It's just the running out of steam.
That's the end of the day.
Yeah. All right, so Rich, what's coming up?
Well, a lot of good things happened with the Red Sox yesterday. Their play on the field, however, was not one of them. We will get over all of that. And looks like luck fell right into their lap last night in the draft.
Indeed. Pittsburgh being very cheap. We will be right back.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Kutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Kutcher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Kutcher and Rich. I watched the amateur draft, as I find myself doing, and I like now that it's a spectacle.
I made it through the first 15 picks. As soon as Frelick went, turned it off.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch every single pick until the Cardinals pick. I skipped around, but I did see the Red Sox pick, indeed. All right, Rich. Yes, the draft was yesterday.
There was, but first, you're getting a little crap from Marshall Hook. He just tweeted, listen back to the 2 days I was on Kutcher and Rich, and you will hear two things about the Rachel Nichols story. Number one, I participated fully in the conversation. Number two, I, unlike Fred, actually knew what the story was about.
Here we go. Yeah, he got very into the particulars of it. I was saying that Hook played his part in that if I had one other guy to needle him with, it would have been a good bit. But thank you for listening, Marshall.
Fred, apparently he was listening to the actual story itself. Unlike you, he is saying he knew what the story was.
Yeah, the day before. That was the day before. Then the day after was the bit I was talking about. When Hardy and Hook were on, it was fine. Mm-hmm. The show was good. So I don't have an issue with that. The issue was when it was Murray and Hook, but I like Marshall Hook. I don't think he's bad on the radio. I'm saying that was a difficult show to do.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Well, he will, I'm sure, stop complaining on Twitter towards us now. I'm sure that puts it all to bed. Well, a lot of good things happened this weekend with the Red Sox. Their play on the field, however, was not one of those things.
Bounding ball into the shift, scooped up nicely done by the first baseman on to Suarez, and that is it. The Phillies hang on. They beat the Red Sox today 5-4, the final score. So the Red Sox will carry a game-and-a-half lead into the All-Star break over the Tampa Bay Rays, who lost earlier today to the Toronto Blue Jays. Your final today, Philadelphia 5 and the Red Sox 4.
Yep, that is Ness in an all-season-long. Sox able to rally from behind. The final score 5-4. They dropped 2 out of 3 to the Phillies, and after being one of the surprises of the first half of the season, they lose 4 out of 5 to go into the All-Star break. That is a fact not left unnoticed by a certain curly-haired Globe reporter. Several days ago, the Red Sox changed their Twitter account tagline to, quote, "Remember your tweets from the first week of the season? We do." Well, Dan Shaughnessy, of course, cracked his knuckles yesterday and tweeted, quote, "Sox lose 4-5 after calling out everyone with new Twitter handle. Like, I mean, how could have anyone ever doubted them? Hashtag karma." So he's, of course,
Dan's waiting. You don't think Dan's perched and waiting to see what happens by the end of July?
Because the thing is that the person running the Sox account is obviously obsessed with Twitter because it's their job. And the writers are obsessed with Twitter because it's their job. Mm-hmm. So these are the people that care. Check your tweets. Like, that's some, you know, kid going, like, taking it personally when people said bad things about the Red Sox at the beginning of the season because, you know, they weren't supposed to be good. And, they put that out. It was a little bit of hubris and a little early. And, I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. It would take a real colossal disaster for them not to, but... It could happen.
It certainly could. It could certainly happen. In the next couple of weeks.
Oh, well, they
could go south on them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be at one of those Yankee games.
They got the Yankees, Toronto, and Tampa Bay exclusively for the rest of the month after they come back from the All-Star break. We'll see where we are.
So things could go three ways, and they're obvious. They could seal everything up.
Yeah.
They could
stay right where they are.
They could go 500, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Or they could fall apart, and if they fall apart over the next month of the season, egads. So that was a little quick, But then again, I just chalk that up to people that are obsessed with Twitter. Like,
well, we now go to the person running the account.
Let's go Red Sox.
Oh. There's the mystery man.
I thought he was completely enamored with Worcester now.
You think Harpo knows anything about Of course Harpo knows everything about Twitter. He's probably scouting it. He's like, make sure you type that in.
I'm telling you.
I took names at the beginning of the season.
I'm joking, but I'm not joking. I bet that he is somebody who took massive offense to that.
And
was like, hey, put this out there. Show him who's boss. Well, Alex Cora seems to know where his team stands.
We're in first place in the East, you know. Nobody can take away that from us. We've been playing good baseball. A little disappointed that we lost the last two series, but good teams get disappointed when that happens. Right.
Yeah, well, and they should be disappointed.
But they can take that away from you. I mean, they can. No one gets a trophy for being first place at the All-Star break. They can.
Sox should have more than anybody else.
They can take that
trophies for that.
They can actually really take that away from you. But okay.
But despite the losses heading into the All-Star break, the Sox did find themselves with great news falling right into their laps.
Leiter's gone. Davis is gone. And here comes the commissioner with the Red Sox
with the fourth pick of the 2021 MLB draft, the Boston Red Sox select Marcelo Meyer, a shortstop from East Lake High School in Chula Vista, California.
All right, so I'm learning about this guy right along with everyone else, but the consensus is this dude was supposed to be long gone by the time the Sox drafted him at number 4. 18 years old, Marcelo Meyer. He was considered by many to be the best talent on the board. 6'3", shortstop, in which John Tomasi tweeted, quote, Meyer attended the same high school as Adrian Gonzalez. He's
where did
a 5'2" shortstop. He said, this is stunning. It's like the Red Sox actually had the first pick of the draft. And as you were mentioning earlier, Fred, the shock came after the Pirates took the best college player at 1, a catcher. Then the Rangers took Wallach's guy, Jack. Is it Leiter or Leiter?
Leiter.
Leiter, okay. And then the Tigers took the top-ranked high school pitcher, and boom, the Sox somehow end up with this guy. Everyone seems elated. If he was the best guy on the board, give me a reason why he was available at 4.
I know a lot about this draft. This draft was, there was no consensus. I mean, first of all, the mock drafts ran the gamut throughout the college season. And
but in the last couple of days, everyone had this kid going number 1.
Yeah, I know. It's great that they got him at 4. It's not the college football draft, though. There was no consensus number 1. I mean, Al Leiter could be the greatest. Rocker could be the greatest thing that's ever happened. I mean, no one knows. So the belief was that based on the teams that were picking in the top 4, that high school shortstops were going to go first because of the way that these teams draft. There's some people that prefer college pitchers. There's some people that stay away from high school pitchers. Apparently, the Tigers taking a right-handed high school pitcher that high is very dangerous, that a lot of times those guys don't pan out. So there's all these, a million theories to drafting these kids. And, you know, at the best case scenario, this kid would make his major league debut in 3 or 4 years.
Does he stay as a shortstop? Because I know sometimes these guys...
Apparently, usually guys who get drafted as shortstops don't stay there. But everything I read and watched last night say this kid is going to stay where he is.
Well, where's Bogaerts going to go?
I don't know.
Okay, so no, he's not going to stay at shortstop. If he comes up in 3 years, they're not going to move Bogaerts from short. So he won't play shortstop for them. They took the best available kid. And so, yeah, it's great. Out of all the prep players, he was the best. Now, I got to figure that the Pittsburgh, there's two theories on why Pittsburgh took the catcher out of Louisville, right?
Yes.
Is that one, it could be a money situation and that this kid could demand a lot of money. And two, he could play soon.
Is it a college versus high school philosophy?
Well, there is that with pitching especially, but with catching, they believe that this kid the Pirates do, that this kid is going to be a offensive catcher and that he could play in the majors soon and that he could help right away. This kid that the Red Sox took, again, is 18. He's going to need, you know, years and years and years of development. And he's not very fast, but he's going to need years of development. And, you know, but he should be good.
Apparently, already he's been placed as a top 40 prospect overall in Major League Baseball.
Well,
so the Red Sox have 4 guys in the top 50.
And, John, you'd probably know this, but from the stuff I read, too, is that his high school numbers, I guess that the area he grew up in is like stocked with like studs.
Yeah.
And the competition he went up against with was legitimate. So, well, these numbers are even more impressive.
It's crazy because at like 14 and 15, he was playing in these national showcase games and stuff like that. So his parents were obviously very into baseball because they had him traveling all over the place playing in showcase games from since he was a freshman in high school. One of the kids that got drafted in the first round in the top 10 didn't make his varsity baseball team until he was a sophomore.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was interesting. Cool. So basically, he was considered by many the best, but, you know, Leiter could be an ace, and Leiter is polished, and Leiter could pitch soon. And this kid out of Louisville, who probably doesn't project to be as good as the kid that the Red Sox took, can play soon, and he's at a premium position, and so on and so forth. So that is why. And then the Tigers believe the guy they took was the best pitcher in the draft, but a lot of teams don't like taking a right-handed high schooler that high.
Yeah, so, Sox took a guy, one of the rare times they were in the top 10, Sox took a high school pitcher, I think at number 7, and the kid flamed out before he reached double A.
Yeah, so that's apparently what's going on. And well, so there you go. Him. So if you're a Red Sox fan, it's great. I mean, but it's Tomasi needs to calm down. I mean, there's a reason. I don't think the Rangers took Leiter to save money. I mean, I think they took Leiter because they think Leiter projects to be an ace. And I don't think the Tigers took the kid they took because to save money. I think they took him because they believe he projects to be an ace. And so the Red Sox, it's great, but it fell for a reason. It's not like the other teams are complete idiots, and it was shocking. So there you go. That's my piece on it.
So he was a 363 hitter, good power, apparently. So round 2 through 10 of the draft start at 1 o'clock today. John, you going to be locked in? You going to be watching even as we go deep into the draft here?
No. We watch round 2 because the Red Sox have the 4th pick. Yes, yeah. The 4th pick. You know, you watch that and you turn it off.
That Sal Frelick kid, I think, is going to be a Pedroia-like. I think he's going to play in the majors like next year.
I'll never forget Gambino coming in here. He has been in the studio multiple times, and I remember asking
him. Gambino's the coach of Boston College.
Yes,
and Sal Frelick is a kid that went to Boston College that got drafted 15 last night.
15 by Milwaukee, and I remember Gambino, the head coach at Boston College, came in here, and the reason I was interested, Frelick went to the same high school I did, so I was curious about him, and he said, I think this kid is going to be Andrew Benintendi. Now, this was back when Benintendi was hitting well and was very, very good. He thought this kid would be a major leaguer back when he got him as a freshman.
And the problem with Frelick is his size, is that he's tiny, but the thing is that the kid, it's one of those things where the kid's just good at baseball, and you can, you know, you can go, you know, exit velocity, this, and blah, blah, blah,
no,
blah, blah.
No, but you watch him, and he's got it. You can see it.
And yes, he's got it, and I don't think that he'd be intimidated by the majors, and I think he's going to play right away. And unfortunately, Milwaukee got him, who are in the same division as the Cardinals. So,
well, that kid from Dexter Southfield, he was drafted, I think, 23rd, went to the Cleveland Indians, too. Yeah. So
he got drafted a little high. He was not supposed to go that high, but if you're a prep kid from Massachusetts, even with COVID, you can still get drafted in the first round if you're good enough. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Well, let's get to the Giannis Antetokounmpo show yesterday. He actually made a lot of his free throws.
Well, they weren't counting. So that's the big thing. And I'm not joking, kind of. They weren't counting.
No. I totally believe that's in his head.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely in his head. All right. We'll be right back.
Face it. Winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank.
It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
.985 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Someone's saying they'd move Bogarts to third, Devers to first, and this new kid to shortstop. Will that in 3 or 4 or 5 years? I don't know why you'd want to move Bogarts away from shortstop. He likes playing there, and he's good.
He's the face of the franchise at this point.
Just, I don't know why, for some kid, move the kid to third. I would have moved. And this kid, they didn't draft the kid because of his slick glove. They drafted the kid because of his bat.
Bogarts is 2 years into a 6-year contract. So in 3 or 4 years, Bogarts 32, 33, maybe. I mean, if he loses a step, I don't know.
Sure.
Whatever.
Fine. But the point is, if this kid comes up in 3 years, why would you move Bogarts?
Yeah, the talent was there. You take the talent, you figure out exactly. What to do.
That's my point.
Yes, yep. Yes.
That's so. My point. They didn't get, he's not Jose Iglesias. They didn't get some kid because he's the best athletic shortstop of all time. So
the Sox have gone that route too and failed miserably. So,
what are you going to do?
Well, last night, Giannis was that guy.
They open again. 3-pointer. No good. Giannis grabbed a one-hand rebound and put it in with a foul. Man, that was a man's rebound. He got it one-handed while being pushed.
It was every Celtics fan's nightmare. He had anything he wanted. I think the average shot range last night, I think I saw, was under 2 feet. Like, every shot was in the paint he made yesterday.
They played basketball that last night. They played. It was like a basketball game. There were offensive rebounds, and there was people cutting into the lane and receiving the ball. It was really something.
Hey, you know what else was in effect last night? The wrangle. Very much in effect last night.
Crap. I know that. Now, I saw the people who got on there, and I saw, the Bankroll Boys bitching about there being a wrangle. They won that without the help of the refs.
No, I'm just looking. You know what? You're right. Milwaukee was the far better team. They outplayed Phoenix. Giannis played well. But I'm looking at the foul shots, and sure enough, Monty Williams, first thing he said after the game, Giannis 17 free throws, Phoenix 16
because
free throws.
He can be that guy any night if he wants to be.
I just find it odd. Scott Foster, who favors the home team, and they put him on a game where Milwaukee was down 2-0, and at home. You don't think that there's a possibility the NBA wanted to make sure?
Well, of course they did. But, he's a damn moving I mean, he's like a locomotive, and you can't stop him. You step in his way. Chances are he's going to get to the free throw line. Now,
Giannis had more free throws than the entire Phoenix team last night.
And he deserved almost every single one of them.
I mean, it's strange, that's all.
All right.
It's odd that this happens to occur when they're down two games to none.
To know there was a 20-point wrangle. In the end, it was essentially a blowout, John.
Well, it was a blowout throughout. And where are all the emails about how much Giannis sucks now? I mean, because I said at the beginning of the season, Giannis might be the best player in the NBA. I obviously don't feel that way now. But I do get emails like he sucks.
Ooh, yeah, if they win a championship, Fred, watch out. Because then there's that bug that's gone. That thing that seemed to, cripple him in big moments in the playoffs. If he wins a championship, that is gone. So think about what he can be if he didn't have that mental block. And we know that obviously there's a little bit of mental fragility there because you mentioned it before the break.
Oh, sure.
You know, when he's playing in other arenas and they're counting down his free throws, the guy just, airballs.
And he was
sucks.
Also afraid to get fouled in a couple of those games. But
there might not be a player in the NBA that home court advantage means more to than Giannis Antetokounmpo.
True.
And you saw
it
last night.
Well, he did have 40. The other,
he had 42 in the loss.
He was great.
Two.
Yeah,
yes.
He was obviously the best player on the court that game. But Giannis was last night a respectable 13 of 17 from the free throw line. And as good as Giannis was, Devin Booker on the other side was equally as bad. He started the game off 1 for 7, finished barely in double digits. He got 10 points, his worst performance of the playoffs. Here is Mr. Antetokounmpo afterwards.
Michael Jordan had 4 straight 40-point games against the Suns in the NBA Finals.
I'm not Michael Jordan.
Is that in jeopardy?
I'm not Michael Jordan.
40 points in a straight two.
Four in a row.
Yeah, I've never, no, I'm not Michael Jordan. But, you know, all I care about right now is getting one more. That's all. You know, just take care of business, doing our job.
And because it is the NBA Finals, we have to wait until Wednesday night to see Game 4, and we have to wait until 9 p.m. So a treat for all of us on the East Coast. I know that the ratings have been really good up until the Finals. I think the first two games, they're not so hot, and I think we kind of expected that if maybe it was a Phoenix versus Milwaukee, you know, two markets that aren't quite known for their basketball fans. But it's been fun to watch. Like, this has been – the whole playoffs have been great. But the Finals last night, I watched a decent amount of last night's game, and it's been good. I root for Antetokounmpo. I want him to win for the same reason you do, Fred. I want there to be a guy from a small market who decided to stick around, and a franchise that built a team around a star to hopefully keep him. That would be an awesome success story, because it's been a while since you've had a small market like that have a superstar that decided to stick around and basically make it his team. So if he can do that and they can win this, then it's better for the NBA.
Yeah, and it sticks it to Miami and LA, yep. And it sticks it to all these. It, like, and you can't get anybody to play at these in these markets. It,
yep,
the league needs Milwaukee to win this series. I mean, they could use it. They could really use it.
Yep. So there you go. We got to wait till Wednesday night. Everybody have a blast sitting and sucking on your thumb until then. Even though they don't have to travel or anything, same arena, yeah. Still going to be in Milwaukee. They just want to let it simmer, even though it's a month later than it usually ends. I don't know why they don't just whip through this. It's kind of dumb. So Aaron Rodgers, I did not talk to you guys about this. Did you watch the match?
Yes. I saw a whole of it.
Watched
we talked about
six
it.
Six holes on the front nine. I saw the big 777-yard downhill, whatever that was. I saw Bryson DeChambeau hit a 480-yard drive, and then I turned it off.
I heard him joshing around.
Intolerable. It is like that is it has yeah. now become the height of yeah. douchebaggery. Yeah. The match, the trash talking is the absolute most cringy, awful. Tom Brady coming out with the golf ball and everyone tweeting about it. Look, it's got the numbers of all the Super Bowls he won. Talk about a flex, yo.
It's
just you vomit inducing.
You put anything on a golf course, and there's a fraction of dudes that are just like, oh boy,
they're on a golf course, anything goes. Oh, it was the worst. And to make it even worse, it's like, you know, to kill time, I brought my son out to the driving range the day after, and I heard the guys just, yo, did you see Brady crank one out there, man? Oh man, that dude's got it going. He's better on the golf course than he is on the football field,
Jesus.
I think. Yeah.
Oh. I mean, there is
gross.
There is something. It's like taking a kid to Disney World. Like, if you put anything on a golf course, the guys will just, everything's funny. Everything is overwhelming. It's just a lot.
These are the guys who buy the I Love Golf notepads at Brookstone.
Well, there's a funny Twitter thing called Golf Club Golf Pro Guy. He does this thing where he supposedly runs this course in this crappy course in suburban Kansas City, blah 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 blah. So it's kind of funny, but then like dudes, he sells stuff like shirts and stuff. The joke is he was on the Mexican tour and he has this like awful shirt.
Okay,
and so like, but what will happen is now on Twitter when people like things, you can see it. So he'll like this stuff and it's golf pro bros dressed exactly like this golf club pro guy just and sitting there and like, we dominated our member and like, it's like, ew, you took the joke and ruined it.
Gross. Well, the one thing I thought you might get out of the match was maybe something from Aaron Rodgers, a little more snarkiness, maybe some sort of details of what the hell's going on with him, and he was actually very vague because they didn't really delve into it, which sucked. But he was asked this past weekend at the American Century Championship Celebrity Golf Tournament in Tahoe. He said, I'm going to enjoy the hell out of this week, and then I'm going to get back to working out and figure things out in a couple of weeks. So what does that mean? Who knows? He's already skipped all the mandatory mini camps this past month. And the offshore, the off-season program starts in what? a week and a half, I think, for the rest of the NFL. It's like right around the corner.
A little longer, but yeah, it's two and a half weeks, whatever it is. It's right around the corner, yes.
So no word, no commitment, nothing from Mr. Aaron Rodgers on that front.
Well, I'll tell you what, if he put his mind to it, he could be a golfer the way he played out there with DeChambeau. Taking them skins. All right. Well, when we come back, Ben Volen wrote an article in the Globe.
I saw this.
I mean, what planet is he on? And it's not even for what he changed in the article, which he did change the article since it came out. But, like, what Volen thinks guys do in cities and what like, how...
Oh, I saw this. Yeah,
It's you. What... Why? And then he ranks cities he was never been to, and ugh. So all right. So this article is horrible.
All right, we'll get to it because it's. I'm glad we're discussing this.
Because if you've ever gone, while we're gone, think of when you and your friends go to a football game, football game. What you are looking for
in a different city,
right? In a different city,
yeah.
And what you're looking for, and just how terrible Volen's ideas are, and just. He's on the moon. I don't know who he's friends with or what they do, but go to Knott's Berry Farms. But we'll be right back.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.